So if you're just joining up us today, we've been engaged in a series entitled The Signs of Jesus. I just want to preface by saying a couple things. First of all, a sign, we've been talking about this, John tells us that a sign shows us the glory of Jesus. So it's a miracle that's showing us a glory. What is the glory of an apple tree? It's an apple. What is the glory of an orange? It's an orange. But there's more to it than that. It's also teaching us about God. It's a lesson and what God wants from us and how his kingdom reigns. And we see that all through these signs of Jesus. So what we've been doing is just kind of going through them, not in order. So for some of you who are OCD when it comes to order, I'm sorry. I started off with Jesus, you know, walking on the water. We called that storm walkers. How many of you all believe that we are storm walkers? We heard some things this morning. I just felt like God is, listen, God needed a reminder. Some of you all need a reminder that you will not drown in this storm. Amen? That because of him, you can walk in the storm and not fear. It's just a great promise. And then Pastor Scott was here and talked to us about the man at by the pool of Bethesda. He was crippled. If you remember, Jesus said to him, get off your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. In all of these, we did water into wine last week. And that was incredible. Was that last week? You know, sometimes you say it and I'm like, when was that? They all kind of jumbled together for a little bit. But water into wine, that God is taking the natural and moving it to the supernatural, that there is life in his wine. And let's just say this, the world has some wine, but their wine's all run out. And they are looking for something. We believe that's through Jesus, his spirit, right? That's what's happening. So it's been an incredible time looking at that. And I just want to preface by saying, last week I did get really loud. I am sorry for some of you who said that I was too loud. I apologize. I'm gonna try to a little bit. Okay, just a little. Wow. Okay. Oh, my wife's not here. I was gonna ask for my towel. I might need that again. But I also was pretty angry because of the earpiece that I was wearing that was driving me crazy. So that was part of it. But some of you noticed that I touched it. So we're back to the handheld and we're moving on. If you got your Bibles with you, go to John 4. Really excited about this message. John 4. Now, when I wanted to cover this one, I was looking at it. John 4, starting in 43. This is where, if you look in your Bibles, it says the healing, or you'll see the healing of the official son or something like that. But it starts in verse 43, which I think is very telling, and you'll find out why here in a second. If you're there, can you say yeah? Thank you. Thank you, Buck. Look at this. Man of God, I love it. Thank you. Verse 43 in John chapter 4. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Everybody say, left for Galilee. It's important to know. Now, verse 44, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Everybody say, welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee. Do you know why he said once more? Because he had already been there. Remember last week, he was there, Cana in Galilee. Where he had turned water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son laid sick at Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is about a two-day journey. It's about 2 days. It's about 16 miles. Today is not a big deal. You can drive there, hop in your car. But at this time, a two-day journey, it's going to take you a while to get there. Maybe he had a horse. We're not sure. But it took him 2 days. I'll explain why I know that. When he had... And then this man, okay. And there was a certain royal official whose son laid sick in Capernaum, verse 47. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. He says in verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus says, go. He says, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. He inquired about this at the time his son got better. And they said, yesterday. That's how I know it was 2 days, right? Because he left. And yesterday, about 1 p.m, the fever left him. Verse 53, then the father realized that it was the exact same time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed, amen. And this was the second sign Jesus had performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Now, I want to point out some interesting verses, the ones that kind of perplexed me of why is that in here? You know, sometimes when you just read it casually, you there's certain things you're missing, right? And I wanted to know, what is this verse 44? Go up to verse 44. You'll see it's in parentheses in your Bible. Verse 44, it's very interesting. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So why is that in there? Because if you're thinking it right now, you're like, I don't know. Is anybody here like really know? You're probably wondering, why is it in here? Now, we know because of where he was south of Nazareth. But he wanted to go to Galilee, and then he says in there, this right here, that a prophet has no honor in his own town. Now, you can see on any map that you look at where he was down there in Samaria-ish land, for him to get to Cana and Capernaum, to Galilee, if he had to get there, he had to go past Nazareth. Now, you'll see why that's significant, because Jesus said, honor with, where is he from? He's from Nazareth. So why is he mentioning this? Because he's not stopping in Nazareth. He's moving on past Nazareth. Why? Because there's no honor. So he leaves, he goes through Nazareth, passes through Nazareth to get to Galilee, because here's the deal. Honor is where the miracles flow. Honor unlocks the miraculous. Any way you receive honor from someone is through, or any way you receive at all from someone is through honor. So if you want to receive from your spouse, it's through honor. Through your boss, through honor. The way you receive something is by honor. That's how it works. That's how it works with God. So where there is honor, there's a flow. And where there's dishonor, there's a disconnection. All right. Pastor Jeff, can you hand me this? I don't know how else to explain this, so I wanted to just show you. Today I'm calling this the flow of honor. The flow of honor. Now, keep this image in mind. If it's raining, right, I'm not getting hit by the droplets, am I? But is it still raining? Who's stopping the rain from hitting me? I am. So keep that in your mind. We'll bring this up later. I like the umbrella. We use that a lot here in church for things. But in this way, it's a negative thing. So Jesus leaves Samaria. He passes through Nazareth into Galilee because there's honor there. And he passed by Nazareth and didn't do any miracles because there was dishonor. There was no honor. In fact, in Mark 6:5, it says that he could do no miracles in Nazareth. If you're taking notes, my first point is Jesus is drawn to honor. Jesus is drawn to it. Like I said in Mark 6:5, he could do no miracles in Nazareth. There was a couple things that he could have done. Maybe somebody had a little cough. Can you heal that? Yeah, I could do that one. But what is this? You know, some of you are like, wait, hold on a second. My God can do everything. My God is God. He can do anything he wants, but he will not do it if there's no honor. He said he could not. He couldn't do it. Why? Because the umbrella's over them. The umbrella of dishonor. So they're there and Jesus, listen, Jesus can do anything, but it's not that, some of you got to realize that. It's not that he would not. It's that he couldn't. It's not that Jesus didn't want to. We know he did because Nazareth, those are where he's go. Those are his people. Those are his people. He said, I came first for the Jew and then the Gentile. So where is the honor in his hometown? It's not there. So he's drawn to Galilee. He's drawn to Cana and Capernaum. The song, listen, see, honor is not about limiting, it's not about God limiting what he'll do in your life. This is about you limiting what God will do in your life. It's not God limiting himself. See, the song, in Psalms, it says that the people of Israel limited God. They limited the Holy One because their lack of honor. Where there is no honor, there is no ministry. See, honor is to treat as worthy or to judge correctly. To treat as worthy or to judge correctly. That is honor. You know what dishonor is? Treating somebody like a common person. Just a common person. Honor says, no, you are more than a common person. Jesus, you are God. You are more than that. One theologian I read in preparation said that Nazareth was Jesus' hometown, but Galilee was Jesus' adopted hometown. This was where, you know, especially in Capernaum and Cana, this is where, in other words, Jesus had a favorite place to do ministry. Oh, some of you guys get that. Listen, that might make you uncomfortable. But we see it. He passed through Nazareth. Now listen, I'm going to propose something to you that's going to make you even feel more uncomfortable. How about that? We'll keep it a secret, but what if, we won't tell all the other churches. We won't tell them. But what if PCF was Jesus' favorite place to do ministry? Listen, he's like, I love everybody. I love all the churches. I love them all. I love them. But my favorite place is Pioneer Christian Fellowship. Why? Because there's honor there. We love him. Listen, a lot of good churches in Western New York. But I want Jesus to say, there's so much honor there. They welcome my presence. They're loving towards one another. They're loving towards the word. And that's where I love to go. He didn't go to Nazareth. He could have. He didn't. He went to Galilee. Why? Because there's honor. I want PCF to be God's favorite place. Amen? A lot of good churches. We're not going to tell them. We just won't tell them. Okay? It'll be fine. I want God to feel like he's welcomed here. You know, some people feel like, listen, God can do anything, right? God's everywhere at all the time. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. Yes, God is, but he doesn't manifest everywhere. Think about that. He is everywhere, but he doesn't manifest everywhere. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, God is enthroned with the praises of Israel. Enthroned, think about that, seated on the throne through what? The praises of Israel. Now, we all know that God's on the throne. We all know that. But the people of Israel were praising him and putting him on the throne. That's where he feels welcomed. That's where he feels seated. That's where he feels most at home. See, the amount of our honor will equal our genuine praise. Our genuine praise. See, listen, I want to turn like the people of Israel enthroned him. I want to enthrone him on a Sunday morning in this church. I want to enthrone him in the life of my heart. Because, here's this. If I come over to your house and have dinner, right? Some of you invited me over. Well, here's what. Can I get a glass of water? That's what I'll ask. I'll ask you because it's not my house. Yeah, I feel welcome there, but it's not my house. When it is your house, you go over to the faucet and you pour yourself the water, right? When you feel like it's your house, you do more things. So what I want to do in my life is say, God, you are enthroned in my life. You are at the center and you have full reign in my whole life. You can do whatever you want to do. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. That's not just here in a service. That's God in my life. I am making room for you. That's honor. And that's where God can do. It's the flow of honor. The flow. So God wants to be there, and he wants us to create a space for God. How many of you have watched that prayer room movie? What was that prayer room movie called? The War Room. She created a space for God. She created a space of prayer. And I would have to say that I don't know if the story's true, is it? Is that a true story? I would have to say that's one of God's favorite places to go. Because she created a space for him. She created honor for him. Now what I want to do, I want to show you, because this is how it all starts out. Jesus is drawn to honor. But there is an honor slip that happens. You've heard of backsliding. I call this the honor slip. So the first thing on this is high honor. This is when you first get saved. Oh my gosh, he is so good. You'll never guess what God told me today when I was reading the word. Oh my gosh, he spoke to me. And then you come to church, you're like, oh my goodness, Pastor Josh preached a message that was just for me. I can't believe it. It's like he knew me. It's amazing, right? High honor, high authority, high praise. This is where it begins. And if we're not careful, it leads into the next one, which is familiarity. Isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't his mom Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And wait, aren't those his sisters? Like, familiarity. See, what happens is, this is where Nazareth was, because that's Jesus' hometown. So they're like, oh yeah, the carpenter's son. Yeah, isn't that all he is? They're treating him just like the common man. No honor. Listen, you ready? You ready? Listen, if Jesus is just a carpenter, he can make you a new table. But if Jesus is the Christ, he can give you a whole new life. Come on. And if Jesus is Christ, like I was thinking about this morning, he creates a table for me. He sets me there, right there in the face of my enemies. That's what the Christ does. And my question is, have we settled for a carpenter when we can have a Christ? Have we settled that? Have we gone to this point of familiarity where we're like, I just know what he is. I've slipped down. You were high on it all. You were like, God, you are great. You are worthy of it all. Your honor. Look at all the praise. And then you slip into, yeah, I've seen that before. I've seen that before. Oh, that guy's up there telling us to raise our hands. Oh. You know, the same thing that was happening with Jesus. You know that they were like kind of cool with him at first until he started telling them how to live. It's like, oh yeah, Jesus, oh, there he goes again, telling me how to run my life. Who is he? Mary's son, the carpenter. Gosh, what does this guy think he's doing? 30-something-year-old punk. You know that's how they were. And Jesus said, I can't do any ministry there. Because of their familiarity, they got to it. But here's, it doesn't stop there, unfortunately, I hate to tell you. But after that, it moves to contempt. Contempt, that's the next one. David, next one. There you go. Contempt. Now here's the deal with contempt, because you see it, how it's slipping towards us. The deal with contempt that you have, Mary called him crazy. Read your Bible, his own mom. Last week we found out, do whatever he wants. He's God, do it. Listen, read your Bibles. He says, in Mark, you can read it in Mark. She says, he has lost his mind. Look, go ahead. Look, it's in Mark 4. What did we read it the other day, right? You can go talk to me and Scott afterwards. We'll show you in your Bible. His brothers, everybody was concerned. He had just preached in a synagogue. What is going on? They say, he's crazy. He's lost his mind. They were very concerned for him. But then it doesn't go on. You read your Bible. You'll find it. And then you can move on from there. Dishonor. Dishonor comes after that where they, not Mary, but the religious people said, not only has he lost his mind, but he is demon-possessed. Read it. This is what he says. And you see Jesus respond. I believe it's in Mark 4. You see Jesus respond, or Mark 6, one of them. You'll see Jesus respond, and what he's saying is, listen, how can I cast out the devil if I am the devil, right? But there's this dishonor. You're seeing the slip. Oh, he's great. He's worthy. Oh, familiarity, contempt, dishonor, and then it goes to division. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. This is the thing. Listen, I want to say this as gently as I can, but as bold and as strong as I can. We must not grow familiar and casual with Christ. We got to be careful of this slip. When you're sitting there in worship and you're getting critical and all junked up inside, listen, I'm just saying, I've had, can I be honest with y'all? I've had to work on this area of my life. I grew up in the church. How many of you grew up in the church? How many of you grew up in a church with that was spirit-filled? You get dull to it sometimes, and you think, man, maybe he can't do that. Maybe he can't. That person's got a flag. That's weird. That person's over there giving a word about their cat. I don't know if God can use that. Listen, I'm backing off that. I'm backing off that and saying, God, I don't know. You do all kinds of stuff. I think you could do it. I think you could do it. I'm going to make room for you mentally. You got to get past your own head sometimes. I want to make room for you. I don't want to be familiar because I don't want to be contempt. I don't want to dishonor, and I don't want division. I do not want that in my life. So when we're there and we're in worship or when God's doing something, you see it. Listen, I know. Am I preaching to myself? I might be. But I wonder sometimes, have you ever seen like a prayer request or somebody tell you a praise report that God helped them find their keys? And you think, did he? Come on. Did he? You paid your kid $5 to find your keys. That's what happened. What's wrong with giving God honor and praise for finding keys? Maybe we need to do more of that and look at where God's moving. That's all I'm saying. Listen, I know some of you aren't going to come up here and, you know, bust a move out here. I get it. I get it for sure because my wife and I went and saw a private Blake Shelton concert the other day. And I realized finally why we don't have people jumping up and down and running all over the room in this church. And I think it's because of our culture. So, right, it's our culture. But listen, I was at this Blake Shelton concert. My wife saw me sneaking a video of this lady dancing like this. Dance, just not crazy, just, you know, oh yeah, dancing. Everybody else is seated. She's the only one standing. And I'm like, and I looked, and I'm like, that lady probably goes to my church. Just comfortable. We're dancing. Nothing crazy, you know, nothing crazy. It's like, you know, why don't we see, listen, it's our culture. But listen, she was free in that moment, and I don't want to be critical in a church service, say, God, you can't do something through that, because he can. Just being honest with you where I'm at. So we must honor him. We have to be careful not to get into this slip, because listen, we must honor him and judge him as worthy. That's what it is. That's what honor is. It's judging him as worthy. Listen, I don't want to judge anybody here this morning in a negative way, but I'm just going to say that there is a reason why we don't have coffee in a coffee house before the service begins. I've been to some friends' churches. I know how this goes. And there's coffee, like my one friend, I won't even say his name in case somebody in his church hears this and they get really mad. But they have coffee before the service. And they put up the countdown, just like I put up the countdown. And then the service starts, and they're two songs in, and half the congregation is still in the Welcome Center. They're still at the cafe. And I know I don't speak just for myself. I know it's Scott and Jeff and the leadership team. Listen, we don't have coffee before the service because we don't want you to miss it. We don't want you to miss it. Like, we just gave honor and praise to the Lord, and the way that we receive from God is giving him honor. So I don't want you to miss it. You know, some of you are like, it's just because you're cheap and you don't want to take care of the coffee. You don't want to buy the coffee. Listen, I don't know if you saw the coffee we buy. It's junk. It's not good. Listen, it ain't Starbucks coffee. There ain't nothing happening. No fancy high brew. It's Folgers. It's Maxwell House, okay? And sometimes it's decaf and you thought it was going to be caffeinated. It's not. When we run out, we just put it in there and you guys think it's caffeinated. It's not. I don't know if that's true, but the deacons right now are like, oh, Josh, you're killing me here. You're letting them onto our secrets. Have you ever filled up one and couldn't remember if you put decaf in there or not? You liar. I've had that coffee. And it's not just like I don't want to clean the carpets. Listen, Diane does a great, you do a wonderful job, Diane. But she's not a miracle worker, okay? And it's not like, and listen, we have signs that say, please don't bring coffee into the sanctuary. And it doesn't mean, you guys don't care. Some of you right now are like, oh, shoot. Well, this is awkward. I didn't know he was bringing this up today. When's Pastor Jeff coming back? Come on. I mean, I come in here sometimes, I'm like, where did this stain come from? What is this, chili? Where did, you know? Diane finds some crazy things in the carpet. I don't know what y'all are doing. So it's not, listen, it's not about the, it's not us being cheap. It's not about the carpet. It's not about being in control. It's just like, we just don't want you to miss it. I've been to churches. Listen, if there's a church down the street where you can get some coffee and have some kumbaya with Jesus, that's fine. Coffee with Jesus, we're going to have kumbaya. If you want to find a church and you need that, go for it. But listen, I don't know. I feel weird. We've gone to these churches down south. My wife and I have. When we were visiting family, and you get the coffee coming in. That one church, wasn't that sweet, babe, when they gave the biscuits out in the beginning from Bojangles? Yo, they gave Bojangles biscuits one day. I'm like, this church is dope. I want to come here. Chicken biscuit. So I come in the sanctuary with my chicken biscuit and my coffee. And, you know, I don't know what to do with my hands at this point. So shout to the Lord. Listen, I was thinking about it today when I was holding my kid. This is really hard to like enter into worship, but it's like we have our hands free here. Got, you know what I'm saying? Like I know you might drink some water or whatever like that during service, but listen, we got our hands free here because we don't want you to miss it. We don't want you to miss the opportunity to give honor to God. See, if we miss that honor, how can we receive? I don't know. All right, listen, I love all those other churches. No, nothing against them. Like, I love them, but it's different here, okay? Number two. So number one was Jesus. Jesus is drawn to honor. Number two is honor releases the miraculous. John 4:45. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. I want to make some clarifying statements just before I go any further. God doesn't see our honor and then decide if we have enough of it to give us a miracle. It's not how this works. Honor isn't about us, it's about him. And if Jesus is, listen, it's not that Jesus rejected Nazareth. He didn't. Nazareth rejected Jesus. So it's not that Jesus accepted Galilee, it's that the Galileans accepted Jesus. So when we're looking at it releases this miraculous that God wants to do. And right now you're like, I thought we were talking about the official son. Listen, this honor thing is really important. Really important. That's why we're talking about it, because this is where it comes from, right? So it's not as much as that God responds to honor as honor responds to God. It's not like if I have enough faith and I have enough honor, then I'll get the promise. That's not how this works. Because the promises of God are yes and amen, right? The promises of God, they've happened. It's done. Yes, our honor doesn't get God to say yes to us. Our honor says yes to God. So he's already moving. I just want to come in line with what he's doing. I don't want to hold him back from moving in my life. I want that miracle to flow through my life and release the miraculous in my world. Like, that means, like, mentally, I need to give honor when I'm at work. I need to give honor when I'm dealing with my coworkers. I have to give honor. Why? Because I want to see the miraculous. And it's, this wasn't in my notes, but I just want to say, Jesus talks about honor in a lot of different ways. He talks about it with authority. Oh, nobody likes that one. Oh, and when you read in Romans 13, is it? Where he's talking about honor, honor and honoring. And nobody likes the one where we say, oh, we got to honor authority because nobody wants to do that. Nobody likes that. Listen, you don't honor their behavior. You honor the authority God gave them. You don't honor their behavior. You honor what God put them there in that position. Whether or not that's good or bad, that's not what you're supposed to do. And even in the Bible, it tells us that this is what God wants for our lives, is to honor him, honor our spouses, honor our authority, right? This is where miraculous flows. I'd love to spend another 2 weeks talking about honor, and maybe we will someday, but not right now. So what we want to do instead is mature in honor. We want to mature. See, God is able to release more to us as we mature. Great example. My wife and I and the kids, we went down to Rock City Park. You ever been there? Whew. Rock City Park, south of Olean. Big, giant, giant, giant rocks. It's $5 entry for adults. It's totally worth it. But it's also really scary, like super scary, because there's no railings anywhere. It's just cliff, right? And then we're walking around with my three children, and Arden, four-year-old, like, wee, what's this? What's down there? Like, oh, God. I mean, I get freaked out when I'm standing like this far away from the edge with my phone because I think I'm going to drop it, and they're just like, what's down there? Like, really, it's scary. But then we go home, and we drive home, and we're getting out of the van, and I have to go unbuckle my four-year-old. And she goes, Dad, I want to drive the van. I'm like, you can't even unbuckle yourself. Like, how are you going to drive the van? And she's like, well, I drive that. And she pointed over in the garage. She pointed over to the power wheels. I'm like, yeah, you can drive that, but you can't drive this. And what if I was to give her the van? That would not be a blessing. That would be a curse. Because she's not mature enough to have the van. She can't even handle it. It wouldn't work. After this, we got the power wheels. Then we'll probably move over to the John Deere, right? Maybe we'll go to a bigger tractor, or my dad's, can they use your side by side? Yep, the side by side. He didn't say yeah. But see, these are the steps, and then she gets the car. Then she gets the car because she's matured into this moment. As she's matured into this, and as we're receiving from God, we're growing and maturing in honor. We're not doing the slip. We're growing. We're maturing. We can grow in our honor towards God when we're open so that we can receive God. The more open you are, the more you can receive. It's not that he doesn't want to give it to you. It's just you're not there yet. So I don't want to go the opposite direction and slip. I want to move towards honor. All right, let's move on. Number three, honor starts with the Word of God. Honor starts with the Word of God. So this man that was here that we talked about, this official, this man was probably, he was a prince. And that was kind of like what he was. He was like a prince in his hometown. This man had royal descent. He was wealthy, and he had a lot of authority. And this man travels to see Jesus, right? And in verse 49, the royal official said this, Sir, come down before my child dies. Now, when you first read that, you think, all right, come down. He's just asking him for help. But everything I've read said this was not an invitation. This was a command. Because this man has a lot of authority, a lot of honor, right? He's got subjects. We read that his servants came to help him, right, and deliver a message. He's royal descent. He gets what he wants when he wants it. So he's telling Jesus, you're going to go help me. Do you know how much money I got? You're going to help me. You know how much authority I have? I hear you don't even have a bed to sleep in. I might be able to provide that for you. Would you like to come back and help me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing this whole thing. You're coming to my house, and Jesus is like, nah. nah, that's not how this is going to work. In fact, you go right now because your son's going to live. Jesus says this whole different thing, and he's like, no, go. Your son's going to live. Listen, it says he took him at his word. We need to get to the point where just his word is enough. Where you don't see it, just his word is enough. I don't need a trial. I don't need a tribulation. I don't need to spend money or beg. I got a word. See, God teaches us through the word. He instructs us through the word. And God moves through the word. This is how it works. We pray, we ask, we speak, and God responds with a word. Come on. Hello? Where are you guys? Where's my people from last week? I mean, you got the word. Everybody, I need a word. Get in your word. Get to the word. I know I said it last week, and I don't even care, because you need a word. We need to get into the word. This is where it comes from. This is where it happens. See, he comes to him, and he says, God, you're going to come with me. Jesus responds with a command. He says, go. That's the command. But then Jesus gives a promise, your son will live. Your son will live. So you got the command, here's what I got to do. And the promise, here's what God's going to do. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I keep talking about it. It keeps coming up. God's got his job, and I got my job. I like the door. The door's got a job, and I got a job. I need to close the door, and the door does its job, right? God is saying, listen, this is what we need to realize, that we need to obey. I mean, I do my best. I'm doing my best. I'm growing in God. I'm walking in faith. I want to honor this command of obeying. Does it happen all the time? No. I hate to tell you this, but I sin about pretty much every day. Sorry. Some of you are like, really? I thought this guy was a pastor. I am. There's one man that lived on this planet that never sinned. Jesus, right? Some of you are like, who is it? Is it Pastor Jeff? No. It's not. Listen, I don't know why people always think that. Well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't sin. Listen, I'm trying. I just want to obey him, though. I want to listen. I want to get in his word. When I get a word, I want to listen to what the word says. I don't want to hold him back saying, you can't do that. I want to say, love my enemies. Yeah, I'm going to love my enemies. That stinks and it's hard, but I want the miraculous to flow. So I read the word. I get in the word. See, I want to honor his command because guess why? I got a promise. You got promises all in there. Listen, this man's got a promise. He's like, my son's going to live. Some of you got to realize that God's got a word for you right now that you are going to live. Some of you got to realize that healing is coming. Some of you got to realize that your financial situation will turn around. And then you got the promise, but you got the command. Follow the command to do what he says. Like I said last week, we ask for miracles. God gives us an instruction. Can't get away from this in Scripture. I keep trying to find where that doesn't happen. Keeps happening. We ask for a miracle. He gives us instruction. Can't get away from this. This official thinks that he knows everything from God. He thinks he knows exactly how this is going to work. He knows how exactly it's going to get done. This guy thinks he's got it, but then God gives him an instruction that's totally the opposite of what he thought was going to happen. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You ask God for a blessing, and then he gives you an instruction that you didn't think it was going to go that way. Like I said last week, oh, Pastor Josh, you got to help me with my crazy wife, right? How about this? That when you pray that to the Lord, I feel like God's like, yeah, let's talk about you. I see a lot of spouses in here. Some wives are like, did you hear that, babe? Work on yourself. Oh, God, you got to help me with my boss. He's a jerk. Well, maybe I'm going to teach you some humility right now. You asked for the miracle. This man asked God, you're going to come and do what I asked you to do. And he says, no, you're going to do this. I'm going to teach you some humility. Your miracle might look, listen, the way that miracle happens might not look like you think it's going to look.
oh, Pastor Josh has been at the church. God, you got to help him. Jeff's on sabbatical. I'm just not getting fed. I'm not getting fed anymore.
And God's like, oh, let's talk about your diet. Your spiritual diet. Some of you guys are like, why do you get so loud sometimes? Why do you do that? Listen, I got 1 hour. 1 hour to talk to you. CNN, Fox News, TikTok, they got you 4 hours a day. So we asked this. Oh, some of you are like, what about you, Pastor Josh? Okay, my church is crazy. They don't love me. God's like, I'm going to teach you humility. You're nuts. Maybe you're a jerk. Okay, I'm learning. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not crazy. I love you. I'm just kidding. So just like this official, we command things from God sometimes. I hate to say it, but we do. And he gives us an instruction. See, we want it our way, and we ask God to help, but he responds with his way. How many of you guys got to know this? Listen, his way is better than your way. Your way got you into this mess. Your way got you into this mess. That's the way of man. So when I go to God, I don't want to tell him how he's going to do something. I just want to say, whatever you do, I'm going to follow it. Whatever you do, give me the command, Lord, I'm doing it. Whatever you do, I'm fine with it. Some of us just want it to be our way. Because I wonder sometimes if the Roman official is like, you know, Jesus, you're coming with me. I almost wonder if that was like his little token. Hey, look at everybody. I got Jesus because my worth. And Jesus is like, nah, I don't honor that. He doesn't. God is not a respecter of persons. He didn't care who this guy was with his clout and he had all this stuff. He didn't care what he was telling him to do. He's like, no, I see your faith. But that faith came when he got the word. Now I love this. I want you to heal my son. Listen, not only did he heal his son, if you keep reading, it says that his whole family was delivered. He asked just for his son to be healed, and God knew a better way to get that done. See, it's not just for you. It could be for your family. It could be for your children. Listen, right now, we're all benefiting right now from the words of Jesus, aren't we? I mean, that word continues to go. We believe that this is his word is living and active. Listen, God loves the word so much that he said, I am the word. And the word became flesh and dwelled among us. He loves word because he is the word. We got to take his word seriously. We have to be searching through it, not be searching for podcasts to tell us how to feel. I want to be searching for the word of God. The reason why so many of us take this story lightly, the reason why we don't honor God's words, sometimes we don't honor words at all. That's how our culture is. We don't honor people's word. So I don't know if you guys seen this in old movies and stuff. There used to be something called the handshake deal. It was just on a handshake and a word. I'll take you at your word. We don't do that anymore. When Jess and I bought our house a couple years ago, you know how much paperwork it was in there? It was like looking at a Nelly's menu. It was crazy. Just, how much is in here? This is crazy. And then they want you to sign this, sign this, sign this, sign this. I'm like, they don't take you at your word. But we don't do that anymore. But can I tell you this morning that God is supernatural and you can take him at his supernatural word. His words have power over death. Come on. His words mean so much that he calls himself the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word is logos. It's the logic of God. It's the voice of God. It's the idea of God, the mind of God, the logical sense of God. This is how powerful his Word is. But something shifts in this man's thinking. Ian, you can come up. I appreciate it. Ian did a great job this morning, didn't he? Thank you, Ian. Something shifts right here in this man's thinking. This is where it happens. He left with a word. He turned around and he obeyed. He left with a word, a command, a promise. And he starts what I call is the walk of faith. The walk of faith. I got the word. I got the command. Now I got to walk it out. But he doesn't see the whole day. He doesn't see the promise happen yet. So he's walking daily, moving in that moment, step after step. And I believe it's because he had a word, and it says he took him at his word, so he had faith. The faith came from the word. This two-day walk that he has, I mean, he finds out on the next day that his son's alive. What do you mean, my son's alive? He's alive? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. He's living? Because he got a word from God that gave him the strength to walk. Some of you need to get a word from God and have the strength to walk. You need the strength. You need a word. Some of you, listen, not only does it do that, that this, this is crazy. He gets the word and says the next day. You know, some of us, you need a word because the word of God can help you sleep. A word from the Lord can help you sleep. You're worrying about your finances, getting the word. You're worried about your children, getting the word. You're worried about, listen, getting the word. Even though this man didn't see it, he knew his word was enough. When Jesus says this, he goes, your son will live. And then when those men met him on the side of the road and they're like, yo, your son, he's living. I looked at that word living. It means he's getting stronger. How many of you all believe that you're getting stronger, right? Listen, even though you might not see it, he's moving. Even when you don't feel it, he's moving. Take him at his word. Take God at his word. You might not be able to trust the bank. You might not be able to trust that guy that you lent 10 bucks that hasn't given back to you. Listen, he is the word. You can take him at his word. Use his name. Because he loves you so much, that he's not going to let you do it the way you want to do it. I'm thankful for all the times I prayed for a miracle and God did it a different way. I'm glad I didn't get my way. I always wonder, what kind of God would I be? A pretty bad one. So I trust in him because I need a word. And this idea of this boy getting stronger, last week we saw that God can do something in an instant. Amen? And I believe that, but how many of you know you've been Christians long enough to know sometimes it's a progressive healing. It's a progressive miracle. It comes from the daily walk. It comes from the grind. That's what we're doing today. Right now, we're getting the word. We really, really, really value the word here at PCF. We value the word of God because that's where faith comes from, right? But now you got to walk it out. From today, you have to walk it out until next week. Even when you don't see it, we got a promise and we got to believe it's God. Will you stand with me this morning? I read in the beginning, and I talked to you about the difference of his hometown and his adopted hometown. That was honor. But there was a piece there where the Galileans, they welcomed him. I wonder if we could just do that this morning. Whatever you're going through in your life, listen, would you just make a place for him right now? Close your eyes, maybe hold out your hands in a way to receive. Because I believe that the Lord, listen, you have requests, but he's got an instruction. He's got something for you to do. But this all happens through honor. Honor. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're coming before you and we're saying you are welcome here. You can do whatever you want to do here. Lord, it's not my will, it's your will. It's not my way, it's your way. And God, I believe you can do anything. Some of you need to just utter that with your words. I believe you can do anything. I believe that you can bring back my son. I believe that you can bring back my daughter. I believe that you're going to heal my husband. I believe that you're going to heal my wife. Some of those things, you just got to proclaim it, that you know he can do it. That you're telling, listen, you're telling yourself, I am telling myself, I'm a reminding myself that I can take him at his word. So Lord, right now we're coming before you and we're asking, we got miracles, but Lord, we're asking for miracles, but Lord, we need a word. We need a word. Father, I know there's people struggling all over the place. I know we're in a recession. I know those things are happening. But God, I believe that you are going to unlock the miraculous. I believe that we're going to be seeing healings in Jesus' name. We're going to see deliverance in Jesus' name. We're going to see relationships restored in Jesus' name. And maybe it will happen in an instant, and maybe it's going to be progressive. We keep praying for revival, and Lord, we want to be first, a place of honor. We want you to look at this church at Pioneer Christian Fellowship in Arcade and say, I love doing ministry there. It's kind of weird. They're out in Arcade. They a lot of camo going on in that church, but man, they love me. Man, they care about me. Man, they just allow me to move. I don't feel squashed. I don't feel limited. I just feel like they're allowing me to do whatever he wants to do. Lord, we would pray for that in this church. We pray for that in our hearts. We pray that you would start moving in such a great way. But Lord, we know that comes through us obeying you, through us not limiting you, but welcoming you, saying you are welcome here. You are welcome here. I am not going to judge you as somebody that's common. I'm going to judge you as somebody who's supernatural, somebody who created the world. Lord, you created this world. You can do anything, and I'm done limiting you. I am done. I feel like some of us here this morning, you just got to apologize maybe for in your own way. How have you limited the Lord? In your own way, how have you held back the miraculous from appearing in your life? Right now, we're in a church service. And I said it last week, I'll say it again. Listen, this is part of it. Our priorities matter. That shows us what's important to us. Your priorities, or whatever you're doing. If you're not here on Sunday morning, what are you doing? If you're not in church on some Sunday morning, what are you doing? The question is, where's your priority? So right now, the question is, I want to honor you, God. I'm going to give you my first. I'm going to give you the first day of the week. I'm going to say that. Lord, you will. Listen, there's a reason. They say worldwide, only 5% of Christians give. Only 5% of Christians give. That's a limiting of God's power because we don't believe. That's a limiting of God's power. That's saying, I don't think you can do what you can do. Lord, we're just submitting it to you. Our hearts, Lord, our expectations, our finances, Lord, the way we think things should be, we're giving it all to you. Lord, and I love how that man walked, this official walked in like he knew everything, but he turned around, and I almost feel like that humility was what he needed. He needed to hear that. But the best part is he obeyed. So maybe you're here today and you've told God how he can do things. And God's saying, no, it's going to be this way. I don't think that man was walking with his head down. I think he was walking with confidence because he got a word. So Lord, we just pray that over, I pray that over the people of PCF here in this place, those watching online, Lord, that we would honor you in our lives, that we would give you room to move in our lives, Lord, that we wouldn't be holding you back, and Lord, that we would honor you with our obedience. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and what you're going to do. But Lord, you got a job and we got a job. We pray that you just help us with that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.